All right, you're all very welcome again tonight. Just before we start, got a couple of prayer requests we want to deal with, and they're important, so praise the Lord. Russell, get your praying boots on. All right, we're going to pray for June in Tasmania, who's had a brain aneurysm. She's a friend of us. We've known the family for 20-odd years, John and June. A lady called Loris, Parkinson's disease and liver cancer. And a little 8-year-old boy, Zachary, with eye problems. You got all of that?
So June, Zachary.
June, Loris, and Zachary. Oh, and someone else. Okay. All right. That's okay. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God knows about all these things. You know, we're interested in seeing people well. If Lee Min had been here, because one of these prayer requests is about someone with liver cancer, and she's already been healed of liver cancer.
Amen.
And she hasn't come in yet, so she may yet arrive. Interesting testimony too. She was a Buddhist, got converted, and God healed her from liver cancer in our meetings.
Amen.
All right, you got it all, Russell?
June is the aneurysm.
June is an aneurysm. Loris, Parkinson's disease, liver cancer. Zachary, little boy. Eyes, and whatever that last one was. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you today. We give you praise. We give you honor. You are the healing God. So, Father, as we bring these requests before you tonight, we agree together because you said if any two can agree together, then it should be established in heaven. So tonight, Lord, we know that you've established healing. You've established health. So as Russell brings these requests to you now, we agree with Russell and we expect and believe that they will be touched and healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Russell.
Father, we just thank you right now for June. And Father, we just thank you for your hand of blessing upon June's life. And Father, this aneurysm, Father, it's not your will. Your will is wholeness. And so, Father, we just thank you. And thank you, Lord, for restoration in that area of where it's happened, Father God. And Lord, we just thank you. You are the great physician. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. And so, Father, we call June healed, whole, strong, and well. Father, we bring Loris before you. We speak to that liver cancer. That which is not planted by the Lord is rooted.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
God,
Father, that Parkinson's has to go.
Yes.
We see that Parkinson's leave her body.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Every effect right now has to bow.
Put on the nation of Mokarandebe City BCP.
We see a far in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Zachary.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that the word says that you open our eyes.
Yes.
Not dim.
Father, yes.
So we just see Zachary's eyes open and released, Father. Lord, we just thank you for a miracle right now, touching and ministering life to that region of the eyes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for Dina, Lord, the circulation there. Lord, we just thank you for
loosing
that blood to go right way throughout all the parts of her body, Father God. We thank you, Father. She is healed. She is whole. She is strong. She is well. And Father, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. And Father, for Zito right now, Father, we call him into the kingdom of God,
yes.
Father. Lord, he might have strayed, but Father, like the prodigal son, Father, you're calling him home.
Yes.
Father,
yes.
You're calling him back in to be in close fellowship with you. And so, Father, we just thank you for even now, we thank you. There's no distance in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you that he's coming home. Lord, we just thank you that you are drawing him to yourself.
Hallelujah.
In the matchless name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
All the praise for the good things you're doing in these people's lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we thank you for Chris's continued ongoing healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, now this is our second month where we've been talking about health and healing. And it's been good. I've been enjoying it because I've got to get ready for it and spend time in the Word. And that's the exciting thing for me. So tonight we're going to continue with where we finished off last time. If you weren't here, there's still, I think, 4 CDs. The ones in the black cover are from our last healing service. Let me say this. When it comes to this area of healing and health, you have to come to a decision immediately. Is it God's will for you to be well? You have to decide that right away. You've got to come to that before anything else. And John the Apostle gives us some information in his writings about that, and I think it'd probably be good if we just read that as an opener. And it's 3 John 2, down the back of your Bible, just before Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And this is what he says. Now, we understand he's speaking to Gaius, but the principle is that it's a word from the Word, so it's a word for us too. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So what he's saying is, as you get your mind renewed, as you begin to think according to the Word of God, as you change your way of thinking and make a decision that you're going to live in health, then that's going to happen in your body. It's going to come to pass. You learn about these things, you begin to speak them out, and as you renew your mind and change your mind about some things. See, a lot of people believe God heals, but they're not sure about healing them. Well, we believe God can heal, but I'm not sure if he wants to heal me. Well, I can testify personally, Elizabeth can testify personally, as many of you can, that God is a healing God.
Yeah, amen.
God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God.
Amen.
He's made covenant. We'll talk a little bit about that. Let me take you to another reference. Luke 11. That's L-U-K-E, if you've got trouble with my accent. In Luke chapter 11, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14. It says, "And he," that's Jesus, "he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb." Well, all the devils are dumb anyway, but... "And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb person spake, and the people wondered." Now, we've been in meetings many times, and wonderful things have happened. God has done amazing things, and people have wondered, how did that happen? But some of them said, "He casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." And others tempting him sought a sign from heaven. But he said, knowing their thoughts, he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every house divided against the house falls." Now, what that's telling me is you've got to make your mind up about this. You've got to know that it is God's will for you to be well. You've got to come to that place where you're going to say what God says, agree with God, speak it out of your mouth, because there's death and life in the power of your tongue. So when you start saying what God says and agreeing with God's word, then you're going to get what you say. It's so important that you understand that your mouth controls where you're going, what you're doing, and where you're going to live. All about you, your health, everything. It controls your finances. People don't understand that. They think, oh, I just say these things. No, no. Whatever you say determines where you're going to be, where you're going to live, what your financial matter is going to be. Now turn to Mark 16, because we have to put a foundation in for some of the things that we're going to say. In Mark 16, this is Jesus again speaking. And if you're a visitor tonight, this is what we do. We teach. I'm a teacher. God has called me to teach the body of Christ how to be successful. So Mark 16, starting at verse 15, many of you will know these verses. It says, "And he said unto them," them are the disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now there's a good verse if you haven't been water baptized. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." Verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Now, I've seen devils cast out of people, and sometimes it's not a pretty sight. "They shall speak with new tongues." In other words, they'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Get the shakabaru sandili misiti bushutuko. They'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to speak with new tongues. And it says they'll take up serpents. "And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. Disciples mean disciplined ones. So by inference, he's talking to you and to me. He's telling us, he's not talking to ministers now. He's talking to you and to me. He's saying that we should do these things. These are the things that the believers should do. If you happen to be a sick believer, you should lay hands on yourself.
Amen.
See, the pastor's not always available. I'm not always available to be at your beck and call if you get a sneeze or you're sick and you need help. I'm not always available. There was a time when we were not available at all. We traveled the world for 27 years and I was getting phone calls in America saying, oh, I need this. I still get phone calls from America. Now I'm back here again. So this is for you. You and me, we have to do this. Jesus is telling us through Mark that healing is God's will for everyone. But listen to me. Not everyone is going to receive healing because of their belief system. Because they haven't believed the Word of God. Faith for anything comes into play where the will of God is known about that subject. When you know what God's will is about healing and health, then faith grows. You're able to believe God for what you need. You can believe God for the healing. Elizabeth, now we've seen six people raised from the dead over the last 40 plus years. I've seen countless people healed from cancers. In fact, there's two people coming to the church right now who've been healed of cancer, and things are happening. But you see, because of the traditions that people have been taught, even in Pentecostal churches. I first met this young man, Russell Bell, we'll not say how many years ago. I was in Adelaide, went to Adelaide from Melbourne, preaching in a church in Adelaide, a Pentecostal church. Russell was a member of that church, and he had not heard the things that I was sharing, just like I'm sharing with you now. He'd not heard these things, and the traditions of that church, even that Pentecostal church, had kept people from getting into all that God had for them. And it's still the same today. Now, I'm not putting down those Pentecostal churches or their pastors for that matter, but we need to come to a place where we are able to exercise, listen to me, intelligent faith in the Word of God. Yes. Not Mickey Mouse faith. Yes. Intelligent faith. Faith that's based on the Word of God. See, there's a lot of other things going around. People are saying, you know, these things, well, I believe God for this and I believe God for that, and they never get it because it's Mickey Mouse faith. It's not really faith that's based on the Word of God. Our faith has to be based on this Word totally and completely if we're going to get what God says that we're to get. And that goes for you and I tonight. If you're going to receive anything out of this, then you're going to have to believe this Word. You're going to have to take this Word. You're going to have to say, I believe this Word, and it's going to produce in me. Now, I said something to you a few minutes ago. I said, God is a covenant-making God. Yes. And that's important. You need to understand that. He's a covenant maker, and he's a covenant keeper.
Yes.
Some of you may not know what a covenant is. A covenant is an arrangement where two people come into an agreement. You may come into a covenant with, say, Harvey Norman, for example. Say, I'm going to buy this refrigerator. You're getting into a covenant agreement. If you're a man and you decide you're going to marry a woman and you come into a covenant agreement of marriage. They don't all work, by the way, just so you understand that. Sometimes people get hitched and they ought not to have been hitched. Anyway, that's another story. But God is a covenant maker and he's a covenant keeper. Turn to Exodus 15 and 26. Now, we will go back and forward between the Old and the New Testament tonight. Genesis, Exodus, find chapter 15 and verse 26. Again, any of you who have spent any time in God's Word or considered this whole area of healing, you will have read this verse, or at least someone has read it to you. And this is what it says, Exodus 15 and verse 26. Now, with the children in the Super Kids program, when they find a scripture, Naomi takes the children out there, when she says, we're going to look at such and such a scripture, they'll say, got it? In other words, the kids out there, the teenagers, and even little Esther, who's here tonight, they can turn up these scriptures, you know, just in a flash. And yet most people in what we call big church, they struggle. Where's Exodus? Now, you got to get to know where these books are. You need to learn these things. Exodus 15 and verse 26. This is God speaking, and this is what it says. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, a lot of interesting words there, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha, I am Dr. God, I am Dr. Jesus, I am the Lord that heals. Now, it's interesting words because he says, I will put none of these diseases on you which I've brought on the Egyptians. That is written in the permissive tense. In other words, I'll put nothing on you that I've permitted to come on the Egyptians. That's the way it's written. So God permits these things to come on the world when they don't follow his word. And so if you decide I'm going to be a worldly person, then you're lining up for all the problems and difficulties. So God is a covenant maker. He's a covenant keeper. And he sent Jesus to prove to you and to me that God is serious about keeping his covenant. Look at what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we've had people come along to these kind of meetings and they come with the idea, well, we'll get Norman, Elizabeth, or someone to lay hands on us and it'll all be over. No, that's not the way it works. You need to get this word in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, got it yet? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, find verse 20. Now, if you haven't got this verse marked in your Bible, shame on you. Listen to what Paul says. All the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. All the promises. How many promises have you found? They're all yes. There are no promises in God.
Amen.
God never says no.
Thank you, Lord.
Now that'll get you thinking. But I prayed about this and I didn't get it. Did you fulfill what the word says you should fulfill? See, people don't get healing because they don't believe. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him unto the glory of God by us. Now, Paul here is referring to, I believe, all the Old Testament promises, but we can bring that over into the New Covenant as well. Let me just tell you something. When I first started in ministry, which is now 40 plus years ago, when we started our first church at God's direction, we had been an assistant minister with another pastor, and I would get up and teach these things on one Sunday. He'd get up the next Sunday and teach the opposite. And so Amos 3:3 says, if you can't agree, you don't walk together. So we decided, well, he's the pastor, I'm the assistant, so I'll get out and leave him to it. And so we came out and started our first church. Now, when I first started that church, the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart and basically said this. This may not be exactly word for word, but this is what I took out of what the Spirit said to me. That if I would preach the word continually and not compromise it, if I'd spend time and do it exactly as he told me to do it, I wouldn't have to do any funerals.
Amen.
And you know, in all the time we were in that church, I never had to do a funeral. We got called to leave that church and go to Adelaide, and within the first 2 years, the incoming pastor had at least 4 funerals. In fact, I left 2 assistant ministers, I use that term casually. I left 2 assistant ministers with him, and both of those assistant ministers died. They changed the name of the church and changed the direction of the ministry, and eventually the pastor who took over died. So all the ministry died as well, and the church just more or less ceased to exist. Now, that's not saying that I haven't done funerals, because I have. I've had to do funerals. But the interesting thing is this, that all the funerals that I've had to do have been for people outside of any church that I'm involved in. They're for people in other churches. People who don't go to church. We get calls, say, my father's died, my mother's died, or, you know, someone's passed away. Can you do the funeral? I say, yeah, I'll do it for you. And I'll go and preach Jesus at the funeral. Jesus the healer. I did a service recently. Now, you know Maria who comes. She's in Adelaide at the moment visiting some friends. Maria comes here. Maria and Patrick. Patrick's dad passed away, 4 or 5 months ago? And they said to me, Norm, would you do his funeral? I said, yeah, of course. No problem. He didn't come to church. Hasn't little Italian man. Had never been to a church like this. So I went to the nursing home and did the memorial service. And there was quite a number of people there. And so Elizabeth was there with me, and his name was Giovanni. And I said, we're going to talk about Giovanni's dash. And they're expecting, you know, something very Catholic. I said, interesting, if you look on a tombstone, there's a date which says born on, there's a date which says died on, and between those two dates is a little dash. I said, we're going to talk about the dash. So we ministered on Giovanni's dash. And now they wanted me to come back and do more funerals at their nursing home. Anyway, that's another story. That's just to lighten you up a little bit. We have to come to this place. See, God sent Jesus to demonstrate to you and to me that God was serious about us being well. Look at Acts 10:38. Again, I mean, every one of you know these verses, or should. Acts chapter 10, find verse 38. It says this, how God anointed, who did he anoint? How God anointed Jesus. Now listen to it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't anoint Jesus the Son of God. He was already anointed. But he anointed Jesus the earth man. Because everything Jesus did on the earth, he did as a man like you and me, but in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was tempted in all points, just like you and I are, but without sin. See, he lived a sinless life, died for your sin and for my sin, and God raised him. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all. Now, you should have that underlined. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's with Jesus. Now, that verse alone tells you this, that sickness is an oppression, and it's not from God, it's from the devil. Good, another one. Isaiah 53. I have to go back and forward between Old and New Testament here. In Isaiah 53, where it talks about Isaiah, the prophet, and I'll try and put it into a little bit of easy understanding for you as we go through. Isaiah, the prophet, is looking down through the corridor of time. And in his prophetical insight, he sees Calvary. He sees Jesus going to Calvary. In Isaiah 53, I'm just going to pick this one verse out right now. We'll talk about the others later. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. It says, surely he hath borne, past tense, our sorrows or our griefs, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus took and carried all of your sicknesses, all your worries, all your cares. Now, a literal translation of that verse, I read this in one of the concordances, and this is what it says. A literal translation says this, Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your pains in his finished work. It's finished. Let me say this to you. If you've come to the meeting tonight saying, well, I'm going to go because I believe I can be healed, you've missed it. It's already done. You were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to Calvary. It's already been effective, but you have to come to the place where you receive it. Because healing belongs to you and to me, to the believer. Jesus has already paid for it, and God wants you to know that it is his will in this whole matter of healing. And if you will accept that he wants to heal you and listen to the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit says, he will guide you into the finished work of it. Yeah. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you also received him as your healer.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't come in and say, well, I'll leave the healing bed outside. It's no longer I that liveth, Paul says, but Christ that lives in me in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I want you to understand tonight that you can be healed, but some of you are still struggling with the simplicity of all of this. See, this is really a simple message. It's not difficult. It's very easy to understand because there's a very definite connection between hearing the word and healing. Faith comes by hearing. So as you hear the word, when your faith is built up in the area of healing and believing God to be healed, it becomes easy. It's not difficult at all. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Now you need to make a note of all of these scriptures. In fact, you should start to mark them in your Bible and refer to them as often as you can. Because I'm going to tell you something. The devil doesn't give up easily. Although he is already defeated, he doesn't give up. He keeps coming back. Do you remember, we'll go to Luke 5 in a moment, but do you remember in Matthew 4, I think it was, where Jesus was tempted, Matthew 4 and verse 4, 5, 6, 7, then I'm right there, where Jesus was tempted, he went into the wilderness and all of that. It says, after he had faced his temptation, now he faced his temptation so you don't have to. He did it for you. But it says, the devil left him for a more opportune moment. He doesn't give up. He keeps coming back. And he'll try to come back. I mean, you can be healed and say, thank God I'm walking in divine health, and next week you're sneezing all over the place. You know. He will keep coming back. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, it was Luke chapter 5. Find verse 15. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to what? To hear. And to be healed. They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So there's a connection between hearing the word and being healed. Now let me give you another one, because every scripture should have at least one that will confirm it. In chapter 6 of Luke, just across the page probably, find verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, came to hear him and be healed. There's a connection between hearing the word and being healed. You see, we pray for people here, you know, like we did tonight, people who are not here, and they say, oh, can you pray for my father, my mother, whoever. But most of those people have never heard the word. They may get healed by a miracle, but that's not God's best. Miracle healing is for the world in the name of Jesus. Yes. For the believer, the healing is hear and be healed. Yes. Start to grow in it, mature in it. Amen. I looked in the concordance, you know, for this word here and found these scriptures that people want to be healed. So they would come to him, they'd hear him speak. And then they'd be healed. Now, how many of you know who Kenneth E. Hagin is? Some of you may already know about Brother Hagin. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But when people came to Brother Hagin for healing, what he'd say is, okay, we're going to have a healing meeting. And it's going to be on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or over 3 days, whatever it's going to be. You be there, and if you sit under the teaching for 3 days, I'll pray for you. You see, there has to be a want to. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to have what God wants me to have. See, now I'm being very kind to you tonight. Some of you need your theology updating. See, the problem is, over the years, we've been religiously brainwashed. But we need to be New Testament taught. We need to learn, what does God say about these things? I say, but doesn't it say? No, it's not doesn't it say. What does it say in the New Testament under the New Covenant? Because you're not, if you're born again, you're not an old covenant person. You're now a new covenant person. You're living under a new set of rules. In fact, let me just read this little verse to you and then we'll go on. This is in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8 and verse 6, speaking about Jesus, this is what it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. The New Testament, the New Covenant promises are better than the old. The old covenant was given to people who were sinners who were spiritually dead. They didn't know, and God said, well, here's a set of rules. You'll do this, and you'll be blessed. In the New Covenant, he says, well, Jesus has done it for you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you. So we need to come to that place. If you're willing to hear, and I read in, I think it's in Luke chapter 4. Let me just go back there again. We were in Luke's gospel before. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. You need to get to know these verses, you know. In Luke chapter 4, and verse down near the end of it, verse 28. Luke 4, 28. It says, but they were in the synagogue when they heard these things, and many were filled with wrath. Verse 29. They rose up to thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of a hill, whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down. He, passing through the midst of them, went on his way. See, the people got angry when he began to do things in the synagogue, when he began to introduce New Covenant relationship. Now remember, the New Covenant wasn't established until he went to Calvary. But he began teaching them these things before that, that they would be prepared for it all. But they, instead of being filled with faith, they were filled with wrath. And they missed out on all the blessings that God has for them. And some people are like that today. They get angry. Don't get angry. Just say, God, I don't understand all of this, but I want you to be a blessing to me like you've already said you're going to be. We just want the blessing of God to be on all of you even tonight. In Matthew 13, 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. This is what it says. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 13, 15. This is Jesus. And what he's doing here really, he's laying out, I believe, the steps for people to be healed. Matthew 13, 15. Well, let's back up a little bit. Go verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, have more, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not; hearing, they hear not; neither do they understand. Hearing and healing has a connection. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. At any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears. They should understand with their heart. They should be converted, and I should heal them. They should be converted. Doesn't mean born again. That's not what he's talking about. It means have a change of mind. They have a change of mind about healing, and I should heal them. So we need to come to that place. We come to that place where God says, this is my plan for you. This is the new covenant. Now remember, I've already said to you that Isaiah, the prophet, is looking forward. He's saying, this is going to happen. I can see by insight, by prophetic insight, I see Calvary. I see Jesus being whipped. I see Jesus going to Calvary. I see him dying. I see them taking him down. He saw all of that before it happened. It happened in the first four books of the New Testament. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then we have Peter down at the end of the New Covenant, New Testament, and he's looking backwards saying, I'm looking back and I am seeing what happened. I was there. I saw all that take place. Isaiah is saying it's going to happen. Peter says it's already happened. So the question for you is, where are you? Are you with Isaiah saying, that would be wonderful? Or are you with Peter saying, thank God, it's already happened, it's mine? See, you need to come to this place where you understand these things. We're a new creation people. We don't live from miracle to miracle. We live from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You're in Matthew, so go back a few pages to find Matthew Matthew 4. I did refer to it a little while ago, but let's just look at a verse there quickly. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the devil. Verse 3 says, when the tempter came, he said, if you be the Son of God, make these stones into bread. He was hungry. So here's the devil coming in. Verse 4, Jesus said, it is written. So remember that Jesus is telling the devil about the word. The devil knows what the word says. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Folks, you have to come to a place where you understand you live by the word and you're going to die without it. If you miss the word, you're going to die. You're not going to have the things that God wants you to have. You and I today, we're alive in Christ. It's no longer I. It's no longer Norman, the old model. You don't want to know the old one, I'll tell you now. It's the new model. We're alive in Christ. The word of God has come to us. We have to line up with this word. Listen to me. New creation people are the healed of God.
Yes. Yes.
Old creation people are the hoping to be healed.
Yes.
We are already the healed of God. We're not the sick trying to get well. You're the well, and the devil's trying to make you confess out of your mouth you're sick.
Yes.
And he'll give you the pains to go along with it. Because the devil always starts outside.
Yeah.
You get a pain in your head, get a pain in your chest, whatever. It starts outside and works in. God started on the inside, and he works out.
Yeah,
you're made new in your spirit. You're already a new creation on the inside. Now, listen to me. I'm going to say something to you, and you may struggle with this. Jesus is the only healer. Thank God for doctors. Without doctors, most of us would probably be dead. Thank God for the nurses. They do a wonderful job. Several nurses come here and we endorse all of the things that they're doing. But you know what medicine does? Medicine keeps you balanced until you get healed. You say, but I take these pills and they're saving my life. Yeah, well, why don't you learn what the word says and live?
Yeah, amen.
Don't live by the pills, live by the word.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, you have already been totally healed at Calvary inside 2,000 years ago. Like I said before, when you received Jesus, you received Christ the healer. All of his healing ability, everything he is and was and will be, came into you when you saved, when you were saved. But see, some of you are struggling with that right now, at this moment in time. You're struggling because, say, but if that's true, how come I got a pain in my body? Well, the pain's a lie.
That's true.
It may be true that you do have a pain, but it's still a lie.
Yeah.
See, there's truth and then there's the truth. Truth says, I'm in pain. The truth says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, he took that pain so I don't have to have it.
Amen.
This is called renewing your mind. Changing your way of thinking. Coming into line with the word of God. See, if you can believe God, that Jesus went to Calvary and died at a cruel cross for you to take away your sins so you could go to heaven, you can believe for healing. It's easier to believe for healing than it is to believe your sins are gone. Now think about what I'm saying to you. See, this is revelation knowledge.
Yeah, I mean.
If you can believe that you're saved, you can believe that you're healed. What proof do you have that you're going to go to heaven? Here it is. God said it.
Yes, amen.
What proof do you have that you're healed? Same proof. God said it. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Paul speaking to the church at Rome. Now, it's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's the Roman Christian Church. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he makes this great statement. I have this yellow marked in my Bible. This is one you want to look at. This is what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. The word is the power of God.
Yeah, indeed.
If you need healing in your body, you need the word in, because that's the power. If you need finances, you need the word. That's the power for finances. Whatever it is, the word is the answer. If you were here on Sunday, Ulu took us to communion, and we had the most marvelous communion time on Sunday. It was just excellent. Now, we didn't record it, so I'm sorry about that. You have to just believe God for the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. But we had a great time. He brought us to communion, and it was marvelous, and it was wonderful. But it's this word. The word is the answer, no matter what it is. And you've got to get the word into your spirit, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the mouth's going to speak. So you get your heart filled with the word, it's going to start coming out your mouth. Turn over to Hebrews. Now, those of you who have been with us over a period of time, you've probably heard me say a lot of these things before, but that's okay. Faith comes by hearing them again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Some version, depends what Bible you're reading, it may say confession. Jesus is a high priest, an apostle of your profession. The Greek word is homologeo, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-I-A. And what the word means is saying the same thing that God says. Now listen, Jesus is the high priest and apostle of what you say, provided you say what God says.
Yes.
If you're not saying what God says, you negate his ministry as the high priest and apostle. But Norman, you don't understand. I got these pains. Okay, you just negated his ministry as your high priest and apostle. You don't understand. My doctor said, okay, you've just negated his ministry as your high priest and apostle. I say, thank you, Father. Jesus is my high priest. He's my apostle. So I'm saying what you said. You said, by the stripes that went on his back, I was healed.
Yeah,
so therefore, I'm healed. I don't care what the doctor has to tell me. I don't care what my body has to tell me. But you tell me that I'm healed, so I'm healed.
Yes.
And when you start to believe that and say it, see, he's the high priest of what you say.
Yes.
Jesus is the priest of what you say in the presence of the Father.
Yes.
You, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, God has made us kings and priests. You are the priest of what he says in the presence of sickness. Homologeo. So what you say is very, very, very important. Now, we've still got 15 minutes to go, so don't fade out on me yet. We've gone 45 minutes here. We've got another 15 to go. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you into the Word. To get your eyes away from what's happening around about you and get them back onto the book. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Now, I'm sure you've heard me preach on these verses before, but I'm going to mention them again. It says, my son. Okay, so the writer is already indicating who he's talking to. My son. In other words, a son of God or a daughter of God, a child of God. My son, attend to my words. Give attention to my words. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Now, if you happen to be a parent and you have a little child like Esther, if she's naughty, guess what's going to happen? Dad or mom are going to give her some attention. I can remember when I was a little fella. I often got attention from my dad. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear onto my sayings.
Yeah,
faith for healing.
Yes.
There's a connection between hearing and healing.
Yeah,
let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Out of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. For they are, what's that next word? Life.
Yes.
They are life to those that find them. That means you've got to be looking, spending time. They're life to those that find them, and the King James says, health to all of their flesh. The Hebrew word is marpe, M-A-R-P-E, and it means medicine. This is God's medicine.
Amen.
The word is medicine. I remember when I was a little fella, probably Esther's age or maybe even younger, I was a sickly child. Now, I know you might find that very hard to believe, but as a little child, I was very sick. I have memories of... Do anyone know what a poultice is? I have memories of a poultice on my chest and my back in the wintertime. Elizabeth will tell you, because she's talked to my mother, and I suppose Janine has too. My mother used to put two pair of socks on my legs to make them look thicker. Hard to believe, but it's true. And when I got sick, I have many memories of being sick, and the doctor almost, you know, had a regular visit to our little home. He was forever, and his name was Dr. Hunter. I can remember him. I can still see him in my mind's eye. He was a tall man, very erect. He always wore a little trilby hat, and he coughed. He was always just... And he came time and time and time again to look at this sick little boy. And he'd bring his little bag out. There were no pharmacies in those days, you understand that? So he'd make the medicine up when he was there. And I can still see him standing there by the bed with these little bottles, and he'd be shaking them, and he'd smell it, and he'd say, "Now you give him this medicine, you know, three times a day or whatever, four times a day." Now I want to tell you, the medicine in those days was not sweet, sugar-coated like it is today. And I have vivid memories of my mother coming in, and I'm lying in the bed, and she's saying, "Come on, you got to take your medicine." And I'm saying, "I'm not taking this medicine." And so she'd say, "Well, I'll get your dad." So my father would come in, and he had a method. He'd just hold your nose. Ah! You have to open your mouth to breathe. So in it went. I can remember all those things. You know, that's happened time and time and time again when I was a kid. But that's not how God wants. God wants us to get His medicine into our heart so it will come out of our mouth. You have to have a daily confession. This is something that I confess every day. You've got to make your own up, but you can get this CD and take this down if you want to. But this is the kind of thing that I confess. Once I was in darkness, but now I'm walking in the light. Once I was weak, but now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Once I was in want, but now God supplies all of my needs. Once I was sick, but by His stripes I was healed. Once I was a victim, but now I'm more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I'm just saying what God says.
Yeah.
See, I agree with Him. What He says about me, I say, okay, that's fine. I'm not agreeing with the devil. I'm agreeing with God. See, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the word to you, for you. Your own individual needs. God knows what you need. The Holy Spirit knows what you need. Everything that you've learned in your life to now, as far as the world is concerned, has come from your experience, from school, from university, from work, whatever. That's all sense knowledge. That's all to do with your hearing, your smelling, your tasting, your seeing, and your feeling. But you see, there is another sense. It's called the sense of faith.
Amen.
Revelation knowledge.
Yes.
That's above these other five senses.
Yes.
That's something that comes from the Word of God.
Yes.
Now I'm going to give you several more scriptures because our time's not gone yet. I want you to look at this with me. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." The spirit of man, God only speaks to your spirit. He doesn't speak to your head or your body. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God speaks into your spirit by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings His Word into your spirit, and it begins to illuminate or light up in you, and as you begin to say it, then things happen. Under the old covenant, God kept telling the children of Israel about a Redeemer, the Messiah, who would be coming. One of these days. See, from the Garden of Eden, God already had it planned. From before the Garden of Eden, before God ever made Adam, he had a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, I have a plan for you, plan for good, not for evil. Amen. So the plan was already in place before the foundation of the world. That Jesus would go to Calvary, that he'd die, that he'd take all of your sin, and all that was all planned ahead of time. God was not caught out. He knew about it. But under the old covenant, he kept telling them, there's a Messiah coming. One of these days, he's going to come. And they talked about it for thousands of years. He talked to them in types and shadows. And see, a lot of churches are still stuck in the types and the shadows. They're still looking at the types and shadows instead of getting up to the fact that the Messiah has come. He's already been to Calvary, but it's already a done deal. Under the new covenant, Peter is able to say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. Now we read in Proverbs chapter 4, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. So Peter is picking up on this, and he's saying, he's giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. See, now listen, a promise to the old covenant people, a fulfilled fact. Amen. For we who are new covenant. Yes. It's already done. Yes. It's a finished work. Yes. He's not going to do any more. Healing pertains to life, pertains to godliness, pertains to you and to me right now. You have to come to a place tonight where you're going to say, okay, Lord, I understand that. It's not a promise anymore. I'm not standing on the promise. How many of you, maybe you shouldn't ask the question. I'm going to say, how many of you got a promise box? You know, you get one of these little promise boxes and they've got a little pair of tweezers in it. You pull these little promises out. Oh, this is a promise. That's Old Testament. Sorry to disillusion you. That's all done with, finished with. Those are promises. The word is, you have been healed. Yeah. It's already done. It's finished. It's completed. I'm not going to do any more. You need to take this words that I'm giving you tonight and see that it was already accomplished some 2,000 years ago. I mean finished. Now, I've got one or two other scriptures I really want to give to you, and we've still got 5 minutes. Proverbs 17 and 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I told you about me taking my medicine. Okay, you need to take your medicine tonight. I'm not giving it to you on a teaspoon. I'm giving it to you on a shovel. Open up. Take your medicine. Now, here's my last verse for you tonight. Oh, well, maybe the last. Proverbs 12:18. See, you may be at a place tonight where you say, well, I've heard all you've said, Norman, but, you know, I've still got these pains. If I was to do what you're saying, in other words, if I was to start to say that I'm healed and I've still got pain, I'd be telling a lie. No, you're not. You're telling the truth. Yes. The pain is a lie. Yes. Where do we say we're going? Proverbs 12:18. There is that one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Amen. The New Living Testament, same verse. Proverbs 12:18, New Living. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Interesting stuff. See, if you watch television, and I'm sure most of you do, you probably see the news. I mean, how many channels have we got now? We got 99 channels or something here. It's amazing how many channels. That's only the secular stuff. But then you got the Christian channels. And then you get a Roku box and you can get on YouTube and whatever. And you can... millions of them. You can get all kinds of things. But if you watch television, much of what you say will be bad news. The shows that people watch for pleasure, in other words, they like certain shows that they watch. Every hour of television, now listen to these figures, every hour of television that you watch contains 36% of advertising material. That's 21.6 minutes of advertising in every hour of television that you watch. Now, most of the advertising is for headache pills and you can take this and you'll feel better. See, you're being brainwashed to believe I need Panadol. I need. I've got the, you know, people. So what are you watching? Listen, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We spend too much time watching junk. But if you read the Gospels, read the Word of God, you start getting the good news. The Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is wholeness, spirit, soul, and body to everyone who believes. So do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I trust that you do, and I trust that you're open to receive what God has for you. Well, praise the Lord. Good job, I can see the clock. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you came here tonight and you can be honest about this? I don't mean in the sense that you came and you just want somebody to lay hands on you because it's exciting and it's a thrill and you fall on the floor or something like that. God knows. He knows where you're at and what you need. We're happy to pray with you. That's why we hold this first Tuesday of the month meeting. We do it that we can inform you about the Word of God, what the Word has to say, what you can learn for yourself. If you're a sick believer, the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The number of times where Elizabeth and I, we've just had to lay hands on ourselves. You know, some Sunday mornings, I don't feel like coming to church. I have a headache. Oh, I'm not feeling so good. I don't think I'll go. Thank you, Father. I believe I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name. By the time I get to the front door, I'm ready to preach. See, you have to take authority over these things. When Elizabeth had the brain aneurysm and almost died, I mean, I can remember very clearly being in the hospital with her. We had come back from 10 weeks in America. And we were sitting in her sister's house. And we were saying, oh, when we were in America, then we went over to Ireland and we visited cousin so-and-so, you know, visited family. Then we went back to America and did a lot more meetings. And then eventually we came home. And here we are, just 2 days home, sitting in their sister's house telling the stories. And Elizabeth says, I don't feel very... fell on the floor. She went into a coma. She had a brain aneurysm. I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I'm laying hands on her and saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you to... I've seen dead people raised. So I'm saying, come on, in the name of Jesus, I command you to... Nothing happened. Next step, call the ambulance. The ambulance came, got her in the ambulance. We're on our way to the Austin Hospital. Halfway to the Austin Hospital, she woke up and she says, where's my handbag? For a woman, that's important. Forget the aneurysm, where's the handbag? So I said, it's okay, don't worry about it. Then she went back into a coma again. So we got her into hospital. And we're in the emergency in the Austin. The doctors are examining her and you know, they're just doing the tests that they normally would do. They're doing an MRI, all the different things. But as it happened in that particular evening, if I remember, do you remember, dear?
I think it was Sunday, but they didn't operate till Monday.
Oh, it was a Sunday night after, yeah, we'd come home. All right, I was going to say the head neurosurgeon, that doesn't sound right, the chief neurosurgeon, happened to be going through the emergency section. He'd been to see one of his patients. And he looked at Elizabeth and he said to the intern there, or to the registrar, what's wrong with this lady? And this doctor, she's had a brain aneurysm. He said, okay, I'll have a look. So he looked at all the x-rays and all of that. And he came to me. I'm sitting over here. And he says, oh, Mr. Campbell, he says, it's serious. This is a bleed in the language center of her brain. He says, prepare your heart. We don't think she's going to be here tomorrow. So his name was Gavin Fabini, good Catholic man. So I took his hands and I said, doctor, I know you're a good doctor, I know you're going to do an operation on my wife. I know she's going to come through. I know it's all going to be okay. When this is all over, no one will ever even know she's had a brain aneurysm. Amen. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? He said, no. So I held his hands, prayed a prayer. The anointing of God on this man, God, you will anoint his hands when he's doing this operation. It will be perfect. You will be doing the operation, because that's the level that we're at right now. We're going to have this operation. 6.5 hours, she came out of the operation with a little metal clip in her brain. And she hasn't looked back since.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Do you want to say something about it? No? Yes? Come on. You can do it.
Speak into this. I was always a very quiet person, but after the operation like that, I became a chatterbox.
Yes.
But they told me I wouldn't talk, and I wouldn't have a good memory, but I think my memory's better than Norm's.
It is.
But what I thought about tonight, as I was watching the lovely dresses on the TV today, I like looking at the ladies' lovely coloured dresses, and you know, in my spirit, I thought, you know, it's more exciting where we're going tonight, because there, it's not the presence of the Lord, but here, it's the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And he's the one that created the whole universe, and he's here tonight, and he lives within us. And I thought, that's more exciting for me. All the other worldly things you could go to, that does not appeal to me at all, because I'd rather be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah. I agree. Yeah. Thank you, Father. All right. Now, I'm just going to mention a couple of things. While Elizabeth's talking, several things have come to me. Someone with a difficulty in your right knee, left shoulder. Thank you, Lord. Left thumb. Someone has to go to the dentist about your teeth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cholesterol problem. Okay, God knows about that. Now, if you relate to any of those things that I've said, we want to pray for you. And we are going to lay our hands on you, but you're going to have to receive. We can provide the faith to help you, but you're going to have to believe God, reach in and grab what God has for you. It's already done. It's not because we pray for you. It's not because God is suddenly going to do something. See, we don't live by miracles. We live by faith. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we want to lay hands on you for any of those things that I've mentioned. So if you want us to lay hands on you for any, now listen to me, for any of the things I've mentioned, first off, come out. Come up here, Elizabeth. Russell, come on. Hallelujah. Kiboro sandi mesetokubo. Robobo shurubo samana matiki. Now, I'm going to ask you what it is that I'm praying about. So, Ross, the thumb.
Thumb, I cut it years ago.
Okay.
And the feeling's not there.
Okay.
Well, it's coming back.
Okay, well, it's coming back now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay hands on Ross. We command this thumb to be sensitive.
Yes.
Lord, every nerve to be restored. Every muscle to be restored. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you for Ross. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for all the things that he's done to be a blessing to this ministry. And Lord, we release our faith. We release the anointing. Because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So, Ross, I command you to be well, to be healed, to be whole. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Flour, yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. See, the anointing, we command cholesterol to come back into order. There's more. Take it all. Now lay your hand on her stomach for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, healed whole, every area. Now. We receive that. Thank you, Father. Raylene? Rochelle. Okay. What is it, Rochelle?
I've got things here, there, and around the neck.
Okay. A general overhaul. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, for Rochelle. You know all about Rochelle. You know the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, everything about her, Lord. So right now, we just release our faith. We release the anointing because it's the anointing that does the job. Thank you right now. Take it all. Take it all. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We'll move along a little bit, Jackie. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's not enough room in these. All right. What are we praying about?
Right thumb.
Okay.
I got diagnosed 15 years ago with curvein tendonitis.
Okay.
Yeah, the tendons.
Thank you, Lord. Father, again, Lord, it's nothing that we have. It's only the anointing.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for that anointing. Now, Lord, we touch Jackie in the name of Jesus. Because there's no other name. The name of Buddha doesn't do it. The name of Allah doesn't do it. No other name but the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So be healed now. Father, thumb. Oh, this thumb. Yeah, come into order now. Restored, total, complete. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, my brother Sash.
We're praying for cholesterol. And for my right knee.
Okay.
Extends really to my right foot.
Okay. God touched all of those things.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. We have to depend on the anointing.
Yes.
Thank you for the anointing, Lord.
Thank
you for that anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, right now. Father, we release the anointing that's in the ministry right here. Thank you, Father, for that anointing.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, take it all. Don't miss it. Don't miss any of it. Knee, leg, cholesterol, be restored.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Sam. Okay. Sorry, we always stand this way when we pray for people. Do you want me to pray?
Knees, lower back, shoulders,
okay.
Neck, and
all right.
Shoulder.
All right. Just stand aside a little bit. And now you're okay, just stay the way you are. And just you stand back a second. Sam, I want you to put your arms out like this to me. Like, see? Now put your fingers together. Okay. Now, this is very rough, okay? It's not an exact science, but it just indicates to me, you can feel that this right arm is a little further out than the left one. Okay, so that's telling me that somewhere up along here. So we're going to talk to it.
Amen.
Just get ready to receive because it's the anointing. Just keep your hands out because I want you to see it too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that anointing. Oh, there, it's out. It's out already. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, all the way down his back, through these legs, through these knees. Father, that everything about Sam now physically will be well. We receive it and we give you the praise. Now touch him by your spirit. Touch him by the anointing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Father, pains to stop, to cease in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just something else. A toenail? That's interesting. A toenail. God's interested in your toenails? You got a problem with a toenail? Is that you, Hazel? Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Just a bit of pressure on me.
Okay. Toenail. You, toenail, you belong to a new creation person.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you have to be well and right and healed and whole.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. It's only the anointing. Take that all. Take it all. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Maggie, come over here. Are you a toe person too?
Fungal infection of the left big toe.
What was the first word?
Fungal infection.
Okay.
Left big toe.
Okay. Infection is no right to be there? No. You're a doctor. You ought to know that. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you for the anointing. See, the anointing is going to destroy the infection.
Thank you.
Father, that anointing right now, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, all the way down, touch her now in Jesus' name. Thank you. For take that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, if you have a need and I haven't mentioned it, just put your hand up. If I haven't mentioned something and you still want prayer, put your hand up. Okay? Is that just one? Come out, and if it's just one. Otherwise, I just pray generally for everyone. What? I've forgotten your name. Yeah, but I've seen you somewhere before.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, all right. Elizabeth, come here. What do you want me to pray about?
Oh, my health and understanding as a proxy for my son and for my mother.
Okay.
Who are both ill.
Okay. Standing in for mother and son who are both ill and her general health.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So you heard what I said. It's the word of God.
Yeah,
you see, when you hear, faith comes for healing.
Amen.
So let's agree together. You agree with me, and I'll agree with you and Elizabeth. And so we thank you for the anointing, Lord.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. That anointing. That anointing. That anointing. That anointing. Oh, and I'm just waiting on the anointing. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus. Now, let that anointing flow through her. Take it all. There it comes. That's it. Just take that. Don't. Dora beshitimo sarande besukumu. Rababu sandu masa. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father, for her general health. And Father, for her mother and son, in the name of Jesus, we command healing. Thank you for it. Now take it all, take it all. There's more, there's more, there's more. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. I'm not letting you go until this happens. So, one of you women, a woman here. Okay, I don't know if it's you or not, Jackie. Some woman here tonight, you've had a problem in childbirth. Take it all, take it all, take it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is that you? Okay. Yes, Jackie.
My mom, her right knee and her toenail.
We did pray for her before, generally.
Yeah.
Zita or whatever her name was.
No, it wasn't. We prayed for my mom's blood circulation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father, for her mother's knee.
And toenails.
And toenails. In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
The anointing reaches wherever it is. Doesn't matter.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for it.
Thank you.
We call Jagoda's mother well. Amen and amen. Were you responding to that word about a child thing? Okay, you need to come out. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You heard what I said there about something in childbirth?
Oh, yes.
All right, I want you to pray.
I've been talking to you twice.
Toxemia twice. My goodness.
Oh, really?
All right. Thank you, Lord. Just get your toes on the line there. That's fair enough. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing again. We've already prayed, but we're praying again about this particular thing that you've mentioned.
Yes, Lord.
Naomi, can you come here a moment? I want you to lay hands on her. It's about childbirth, along with mom.
You wear the belt of truth.
Yes.
The belt of truth daily. It's
yes.
Part of the word.
Yes.
You wear it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You don't ever take it off.
Yes.
The belt of truth. Yes. It's the truth of His word.
Amen.
It's going to set you free.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Thank you.
All right, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Go in divine health.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Hey, it's worth coming. God knows what's happening. All right. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing on every person here tonight. Thank you for your word, because your word is the truth. And you said when we know the truth, it's that truth that sets us free. So we give you the praise, the honor, in the name of Jesus. And everyone was able to say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.